Welcome to Your Aged Care Compass podcast. Join us to find out how to support your older loved ones at home. We're going to help you make sense of Australia's aged care system. We talk about legal and financial considerations for aging and how chronic health conditions impact your older loved ones' well-being. And we share real life stories of where it went wrong for people and how we got them back on track.
Hi listeners, I'm Michelle. Today, Coral and I are doing another Ask Me Anything episode with a focus on support at home because there are questions we couldn't fit into last week's episode and we know you want answers. Coral, to kick off, can you explain the process of current home care package recipients joining the support at home program?
Yeah, Shell, look, there's still a lot of confusion about this process. And I think the confusion is caused by the conditions that home care package recipients join support at home. Mm-hmm. So an easy way of understanding what will happen on November the 1st is that support at home commences and the home care package program ceases. Joining support at home is like a merge. Home care package recipients slot into or merge into the support at home program. They don't join it in terms of having to be reassessed, and the conditions with which they merge are protected or grandfathered.
And we're still being asked many questions about the income tested fee, the basic daily fee, and co-contributions too. Can you explain how the ITF basic daily fee and co-contributions work?
Currently, some people have to pay an income tested fee, which is determined by Services Australia. Some people pay the basic daily fee as requested by their provider, but many do not. When support at home commences, the income tested fee ceases and there will be no basic daily fee also. The co-contributions start instead. So for people who are paying the income tested fee, this fee is calculated daily and people pay this fee regardless of receiving services or not in any given week. Mm-hmm. The difference with the co-contributions from the 1st of November is that people will contribute only for services received, not on a daily basis as the income tested fee is.
Right, okay. And we had a question about using unspent funds and access to the Assisted Technology Home Modifications funding stream. Now, the person asking the question thought that if you are approved for the Assisted Technology Home Modifications funding stream and had unspent funds, that you used 50% of your unspent funds and 50% would be provided from the ATHM funding. Could you comment on that, Coral?
Yeah, look, this certainly needs clarifying, Shell. In the first instance, if a person has unspent funds and they are a home care package recipient, they are unlikely to be approved for the Assisted Technology Home Modifications funding stream. It's much like how a support plan review is completed now. Assessors will ask people why they need a package upgrade or a classification upgrade if they have unspent funds. The intent is you must use your unspent funds before you are considered for the new funding streams under support at home. So if you needed to make a large purchase, say a height adjustable hospital type bed, and you had $6,000 in unspent funds, you'd have to use that $6,000 to purchase the bed. If that exhausts your unspent funds and you also needed to make modifications to the home, say ramps or grab rails or perhaps moving a shower hob, then you might get assessed for the Assisted Technology Home Modifications funding.
Okay. Community pharmacies keep Australia healthy. With 6,000 locations nationwide, they're open early, late, and longer for convenient, accessible, and safe care. Pharmacists provide home medicine reviews, dose administration aids, and essential vaccinations. Thanks to additional training, many can now treat common conditions like ear infections, wounds, and skin issues.
They also support management of chronic conditions in partnership with your healthcare team. Ask your pharmacist how they can help you and your family stay well.
We had an interesting question last week, which was, I read that the $25,000 for palliative care is not real, that it is part of the levels, meaning the 8 classification levels. The comment stated the difference between a home care package level 4 and a classification level 8 in terms of funding is the palliative component. What do you say about that, Coral?
Yeah, look, I was really surprised when I read this, Shel, because I thought that there was a clear explanation about how the classifications and then the additional short-term funding pathways work. Mm-hmm. So this comment is absolutely incorrect. There are 8 levels of classifications within support at home, and then there are separate short-term streams, one being the end-of-life pathway. So the end-of-life pathway is worth $25,000 and it has its own eligibility criteria.
Right.
Also, if you look at a home care package level 4, which is around $62,000 a year, and then a level 8 classification of just under $78,000 a year, the math doesn't add up either. So that's a difference of $16,000. And we know that the end of life pathway is worth $25,000. So I really don't know how this conversation got out there across social media, why someone has become confused about the level 8 classification being the end of life pathway. I'm glad the question has been asked because yes. As we find in the work that we do and talking to people, if one person asks the question, then there are usually a lot more people as well who are thinking the same thing or wanting to ask the same question. So just to confirm, listeners, the level 8 classifications under support at home is separate to the end of life pathway.
Yeah. So level 8 is part of the ongoing classifications and the end of life pathway is part of the short-term funding stream.
That's right. Yep.
So, Coral, another question we were asked last week was in relation to nursing and AINs or assistants in nursing coming under the clinical service provision in support at home. So can you please just clarify for our listeners, under nursing, what does that include in the clinical service?
Yeah, so it includes registered nurses, enrolled nurses, and it does include AINs or assistants in nursing as well. They all come under the nursing stream within the clinical service list. The caveat is that services must be delivered or supervised by a university qualified or accredited health professional trained in the use of evidence-based prevention, diagnosis, treatment, and management practices. So as an RN myself, it would be very concerning if a provider was allowing an AIN, an assistant in nursing, to assess and prescribe wound care, or having an AIN to complete a continence assessment. These are very specialised skills. These two tasks should be completed by a registered nurse.
Okay. One of our long-term clients, for whom we complete clinical reviews, asked if she can still retain our services under support at home.
So the simple answer is yes, Shell. The support at home service list clearly notes nursing care in scope services as being meeting clinical needs, such as assessing and monitoring of clinical conditions, as well as education and specialist service linkage, which is what we support this particular client with.
Coral, thanks for answering all these questions today. As we keep saying, there's so much to get your head around with this new program. And as previously mentioned, the rollout has been deferred to November the 1st. Hopefully, again, it gives both providers and government more time to consider the issues that we and many in industry have flagged as potential problems. Thanks for joining us today, listeners, and we look forward to being with you next time. Until then, take care.
Hey, care community. Thanks for listening to this episode. So you never miss a show, make sure you subscribe to our podcast. If you'd like to know more about what we do, head to our website, cmeacn.com.au.